he has not changed. So for that, we just believe God for miracles, blessings. And then we thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. Amen. Amen. I cherish it because I made the bill for it. I guarantee you, I cherish it. Amen. We just thank God for all this, doing for all this goodness. We know this is TGIW. Amen. I was talking to my wife, but God would lead me a different way. She said, it better be as exciting as TGIW. Genesis study, that it is exciting. Amen. We just pray that God speaks to you. But actually, so I have the notes that are prepared. Then I have, that's what the Lord was leading me to do. But then I have the other notes from Genesis 15 up here. But y'all want to see what I'm going to say, so I want to use these notes. Alright? I do have Genesis 15. Actually, I prepared both, but even after the service on Sunday, the Lord just kept dealing with me having an effective prayer life. Because we as saints missed out on the blessings of the power of prayer. And we miss out on the blessings of the power of prayer. We talk about a lot, we talk to one another, but we fail to realize that the greatest weapon that the Lord gave us in our artillery was the power of prayer. Amen. So you can speak to your situations and then move and get out of the way. That's through the power of prayer. So we're going to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And y'all stop saying that. I would have turned the air on, but then there's some people that are cold, some people that are hot. So I'm like the desert fox. So much stuff that I got on my jacket. All these lights. Well, let us stand for our scripture reading. And once again, as I said, on Sunday afternoon, the Lord just kept dealing with me about prayer. And even though I was trying to prepare for Genesis 15, and we had started last week and the rest of the Lord speaking to Abraham and Abraham's covenant. Amen. How many know that every one of our spiritual forefathers had an altar? When Noah came out of the ark, he did what? He built an altar. And Abraham traversed from place to place, he built an altar. So prayer is so essential in the life of saints. That's one of the great commandments that the Lord said. He said, men are always to what? Pray. And not. So if you're fainting, that means you're not praying. God said, men are always to pray and not to faint. So let's start here. I put all the notes for those that might not have their Bibles. I put everything on paper tonight. Amen. And as I said, God was dealing with me some issues about prayer and the way Jesus prayed, which we'll get into a little later. And sometimes we read scripture. And if you're not careful, when you read scripture and you read about the culture and the elements that are taking place, we see it through our eyes today. Right? But how many know it wasn't like that back when Jesus was around? In other words, Jesus didn't walk into a room and turn on the light switch. And all the lights came on. When Jesus walked around, they didn't have street poles for lights. It was a different culture. It was a different environment. So when we study God's word, we have to study it based on the culture, based on what was taking place at that time. Yeah? Let's go to Luke, the 11th chapter, we're going to read verse 1, and then skip down to verses 5 through 12. The scripture reads, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a what? The Lord had a designated place to pray. That's the first thing you need to do, set yourself a place in your house to pray. One of the things I've always wanted in the house that I had was a prayer room. Because that man house big enough yet. Amen. But set a place to pray, right? He had a certain place. When he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. shall have a friend, and shall go out to him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me. And he's teaching you a principle about prayer. He said, teach us how to pray, and he's teaching the principle about prayer. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut. And my children are with me in bed, and I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his, don't quit, don't stop asking, keep on asking. Because of importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he need. And I say unto you, ask, and it, Lord, I bless you. He said, ask it. That's fixed. The devil in hell can't stop you. People talking against you can't stop you. He said, if you ask the right way, as long as you don't ask amiss, he said, you shall receive. And seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What is this all about? Prayer. Right? They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Anybody that's going to say, Lord, help me to pray. I need a breakthrough. Anybody tonight need a breakthrough? I said, anybody need a breakthrough? Breakthrough, breakthrough. I said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, they're still talking about prayer. So he says, if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give them a? God said, if you ask your father for something, he won't give you an imitation. He won't give you something that looks like what you asked for. And how many know if you bite a stone, it'll hurt you? So God said, he said, if you ask your father won't give you something that's going to hurt you. We're talking about what? Prayer. And asking God. Amen? If you ask a fish, will you fight fish, give them a? He said, God's not going to give you an invitation. Or if you shall ask a egg, will he give them a? A scorpion like this thing, very legal. He said, God won't mock your prayer if you ask. Can we say hallelujah? If ye then being, Lord bless your name. We're talking about praying to God. If you being evil, know how to give unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? May the Lord add the blessings in the reading of his word. The church said, word is blessed. So we talk about prayer. Hey, Lord, teach me how to pray. After I learned how to pray, teach me a place to pray. Amen. We're going to go over a little later. Some people found a place in prayer. When you find a place in prayer, prayer will change you. And it won't be a guessing game, but when you find the way to pray like you ought to pray, everybody will see and know that you got a hold of God. Amen? So, how is your... Now, these are personal questions. Right? This is not a corporate question, because we do have corporate prayer, but we're talking about how is your prayer life? Have you set some time aside to talk with Jesus? Amen. Do you have a set place to talk to the Lord? And we went over on Sunday, you said that the Lord went to the place where he would walk to go, or where he always went, and the disciples knew where it was at. So when they need to find Jesus, they know we can go find him somewhere. Pray. Right, we're talking about what? Praying through. Are you still on the milk of the word? These are personal questions. You can answer it because you know yourself better than anyone else. Are you fully and able to eat the meat of the word? Are you spiritually mature to discern between good and... Now, it didn't say, are you spiritually mature so somebody else can discern what's good and evil? But how many of we have to get to a place in God where we can discern it for ourselves? Amen. The problem in church is we got too many people being gathered around on a spiritual leash. Not leash. Somebody's always leading you. You got to be able to discern for yourself. to. Now, prayer is something about prayer. It's something about prayer. When we learn how to pray like you ought to pray. Amen. When you pray like you ought to pray, you don't worry about what football game is on, what basketball game is on, what's over the ball, what's over here, what's over there. When you get a hold of God, you know what you are getting to. Everything else doesn't matter. Amen. The phone can be ringing, but you can be locked into prayer. And nothing else can distract you. So the question is, are you distracted when you pray? Are you distracted when you pray? How many know the devil knows the greatest weapon that we have is prayer? So every time you purpose to pray, you know what you're going to do? It's going to distract you. Why? Because when you pray, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, which is... Now, just a serious question. You think the devil wants you to pray? I'm serious. You ever have a great day and all of a sudden you sit down and your body starts aching? Because he knows that when you pray, he can't have his way. The devil knows when you pray, he can't have his way. So he tries to limit your prayer life. The old saying is he tries to limit your prayer life. Because your prayer life will limit him. He tries to limit your prayer life. Because your prayer life will limit him. All right, let's keep on. Say, Pastor, the disciples didn't ask Jesus to teach them more prayers because the Jews had prayers for everything. The Shema prayer, they prayed all the time, they had a prayer. Something we should notice when we become repetitious and repeat the same prayer again and again, as the Jews had learned to do. So Jesus is ushering in a new spiritual era. He said, the way you used to pray, you can't pray like that anymore. Because you're trying to have now an effective prayer life. So I know, he said, I know how you've been praying. But if you got to pray, look at somebody and say, you can't pray like you've been praying. This is a not only by my death, he said, you don't have to say a word because I can read your heart. So you don't have to be loud and ostentatious to be seen. Just be sincere. So he said, don't pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street that they may be saints of God. We're trying to pray through. The only thing that counts is God. Don't jump and holler and scream so you can be seen. Because you know, every time you pray, the devil is listening. You can guarantee he's going to come and challenge that prayer. Amen. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But that when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which and you're praying, but the Father not listening to you, but the Father that, what is he doing? He's watching you. The Father that seeth in secret shall reward you. Well, Lord, I know you ought to be listening to what I'm saying. I don't have to listen, I already know who you are. I just want to see what you're doing. So in effect, the prayer life, you can't be doing to be seen by anybody other than God. Can we say hallelujah? He goes on to say in verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. Yeah. For while you're in your closet praying, God is just watching you. And remember the scripture that his ears are open unto the prayer of the righteous. Number two, they asked him to teach them how to pray. We went over this, so I'm not going to go over this too much. Just go down to verse 16. All right, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, of a what kind of man? Righteous man, you're in right standing with man. Righteous man, you're in right standing with your husband and your wife. You're in right standing with who? In right standing with God, it will avail much. Now, in our personal life, only we can decide what is our standing. Are we in right standing with God, or we just pleasing everybody else? Amen. If you're in right standing with God and you pray, God assures us that it will avail much. But it can't be one of those sleepy, tired prayers. It has to be fervent and what? We're trying to pray through. Did Jesus pray all night because he thought his Father was unwilling to hear him? Why did Jesus pray several times? We're going to give Jesus all night prayer for a few minutes. I'm going to show you something about his prayer. I'm going to show you what the Lord showed me about his prayer. I ain't going to say, watch this, God. You know, watch this, God. This is safe. Sincerely praying to God. Jesus didn't pray all night because he thought God could hear him. Jesus said to his Father, what? Always hears him. And let's go to John 11, 41 through 42. He didn't pray like he prayed because God didn't hear him. He prayed like he prayed because God did hear him. Verse 41 says, then they took away the stones from the place where the dead was laid. This is where Lazarus had died. Or was in the grave dead for 4 days. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast. The Lord said, every time I pray, God hears me. Well, how can God hear me every time I pray? He says in John 8, 29, he said, well, I do the things that please him. So every time I open my mouth, God hears me. Sometimes you don't have to open your mouth. All you have to do is think it. And God will bless you. Because you're living a righteous life to please him. He said, God, I didn't even get a chance to ask you for it. God said, because I already know. Let me know. But you got to please him. And we say, hallelujah. He said, and I, this is what Jesus said. He said, I will not hear me. Always. Isn't that great to know that every time you open your mouth, when you live in right standing with God, he hears you. And because other people stand by
thank you, Jesus, before all of us.
Amen. Jesus prayed always and all to show us what it takes to bring the mind under. Like I said, when you start to pray your mind over everywhere, you pray in New York, your mind's over in the white. Are you praying and your mind all of a sudden you're out? This is something to me about. I thought I was going to say I'm praying. I'm a little over 30 years old. So when I go back to when I'm a child, that's at least 20 years. How many know I'm a little over 30? A little over 40? You're as young as you feel. Anything in this arm? Right, that's a tool the devil used to try to get you distracted. Right? I haven't thought about that in hundreds of years. But it's a distraction. Because the devil doesn't want you to break through. Amen. All of a sudden you're praying and you're on a spiritual high, you start worrying about a loved one. That's a distraction. You gotta let go of that. We got all the sayings and we just put them into practice. So Jesus prayed all night as well. Let me go back up here. So we know all of us know 1 Corinthians 9, 27, Paul said, then we try to say, but I keep under my body. I'm praying. You gotta keep under your body in prayer. I'm gonna pray through. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We have to bring our bodies into subjection. Alright? Now, see, Jesus' all-night prayer life served as the perfect model for how we must pray when we have a critical need. Jesus prayed all night before he chose his 12. Jesus prayed all night before he performed miracles. Jesus prayed all night before he told Peter to walk on water. Jesus prayed all night before he walked on water. So it's an element in prayer that we should get from the life of Jesus. His great miracles came after he. Can you imagine the Lord had to pray all night before he could choose 12? And we don't pray when we gotta do some more serious stuff. He only had to choose 12. He prayed all night. The scripture said then the next morning he chose the 12. Did he do it for him as an example for us to follow? Before you make a critical God decision, you need to. If you want to make a man decision, you don't have to pray. But the difference between a God decision and a man decision is when you make a man decision, you don't have to pray, but you will have to pay. I think you might not have that. When you make a man decision, you have to pay for that. But when you make a God decision, you don't have to worry about it. Because then we know that all things work together for the charge. Even though everybody says it's bad, in my sanctified soul, I know that all things work together for good. Why? Because I love God and I call according to his purpose. So even though it looks bleak, it looks bad, I'm not worried about a thing because we know. Does anybody know that when you pray with the Lord, God will work it out? But you got to have a faith in prayer. You got to pray for God to help you. When you pray right, amen? So let's go to Matthew 26, 38 through 41. And we talk about the man decision and the God decision. Tonight, ask yourself, when you make a decision, are you a God decision or a man decision? A God decision says that men are led by the Spirit of God, they're the Son of God. That's a God decision. A man decision is, I don't know how it's going to happen, and we worry ourselves to death. Stay up all day in the bed of sorrow. When the scripture said, when you make a God decision, God gives the beloved rest. He gives you sleep. So if you stay up all night, it ain't God. You're not trusting God. You're trying to figure out what God has to figure out. But the Son said, why are you trying to figure it out when God has already worked it out? So don't believe God. Matthew 26, 38 says, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye and. Lord, I'm not going to do some stuff. But I want you to do. What I'm talking about today, I'm your example when you have a hard time. He said, I want you to just watch. Lord, thank you. Don't watch anybody else. He said, I'm about to go through. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He said, but I want you to do. What I'm going to do, because in your time of need, you need to do the same thing. And when we get a little further, we get deeper into what he can mean by this, all right? And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup. Now I want you to watch me. Right? I'm asking God, I don't want it. He said, but now you're watching me. Now listen how I finish it, nevertheless. Watch me. I don't want it. I don't want to even touch it. Nevertheless, not my will. But thy will, watch me. Then you think the Lord wants this stuff? Absolutely not. He said, so now you're going to pray, but I want you to watch me. See what I do in my crisis, in my time of need. An effective prayer life must first change us. A lot of people are praying, all right, even the desert fox got to come out and take you.
Now, the Lord is in the mountain.
Jesus prays, that an effective prayer life causes a personal, right? Personal transfiguration or transformation with all. When God touches you, when God moves on you, no one will have to guess. They will what? See it. Transfigured is translated as a strong G3339 medical food from which we get our English word metamorphosis. A medical food or metamorphosis is a change on the outside. It comes from the, so it starts on the inside and it comes to the outside. A butterfly is a perfect example of a complete transfiguration or transformation. There are four stages in the metamorphosis of a butterfly. A butterfly is a moth. He goes from the egg to the larva to the pupil and an adult. Now, most larvae start off the size of a pencil head. A little pencil head. Right? And most of it, especially the mammoth, the monarch butterfly. You know what all they tend to start off at? On milkweed. It's amazing how God uses this metamorphosis. So the egg starts off on milkweed, and what we just say, we start off on the milk of the word. Isn't it amazing how God can just tie everything in together? Right, so they go through these different stages, but the young is very different from the adult. That's also compared to Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hold that, we're going to come to that later. Let's keep going, because I want to show you something in Jesus' prayer life. How his prayer life was a complete transformation of who he was. When you pray like you ought to pray, you can't pray like you ought to pray and come out the same way you came in. Right? Every time Jesus prayed like you ought to pray, he changed. There was a transformation. There was a metamorphosis. How can we pray and stay the same? That's not an effective prayer life, because when you pray, there should be a difference. And if I've been praying for the same thing for the last 20 years, and you're still the same, you haven't been able to pray through yet. Amen? You can't be praying through and say, I've been the same for the last, that's not God. Jesus is not a perfect example. You have to learn to pray through. Matthew 14 says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain and departed to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there. But the ship was down in the midst of the sea, calm with waters, for the wind was very contrary. And I went over this, the fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 p.m. Right? Between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. How many know between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. is dark outside? Right? Is that right? Everybody agree with that, right? Well, if not, go outside in the morning at 3 o'clock and have those street lights. If you like Ella Maggie when you came up to my house, you said, oh, don't like those street lights on it. No, it's the suburbs. You said, well, we got a flashlight. Right? It was black, dark, right? Couldn't see nothing. Sometimes I got out the car, you know, the woman said, oh, there's nothing. He can't see nothing. So it's 3 to 6 in the morning, it's pitch black. But let's keep going. Alright? And the disciples, well, how did they see him? He just had one of them all night prayer meetings. When you walk in the water, he was transfigured. He was changed. There was a transformation. With all those pitch black, they could still see him. Right? So you have to learn that when you have a prayer and a prayer meeting, when you come out, you ought to be looking different. Your prayer life should make you different. So find out every time Jesus met one of all my prayer meetings. When he began to move, he wasn't Jesus. He was nothing but light. But remember I said in the mountain, his face was white and his clothes were brighter than any full of soap. You know what they could see? His clothes was pitch black. And they said, whoa, Jesus said, now you watch me pray. So they couldn't see him until he got a hold of God. When he got a hold of God, he began to shine. He began to illuminate. He said, man, you watch me, because when you go through, you better learn to pray like I pray. So you get a hold of God to have a change. The song says there's a great change. Everybody want to change? All right, so Luke 22:39 says, and he came out as he was born, as he was, and when
God's presence,
you pray through it unto me. Change. All this is He was transfigured. He was changed. And they were afraid to come out to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And after all the children of Israel came by, and he gave them a commandment, and all gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speak with them, he had put a veil. What? Yeah, if you get in the presence of God, you get a hold of God like you have to. Everybody else can't just see you as God. Moses, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm going to put a veil on my face. Because he was like white. Right? So he couldn't talk to them regularly. He had to put a veil. Why? He tried to shut down that light. When you pray to God like you ought to, you ought to be a shining light. Right? And guess what? Everybody else can see it. They said, when Moses came down, he wished not that he shone. He didn't realize that he had changed. But when you pray like you ought to pray, people ought to say, man, you've been like a balance of warfare. You must have prayed before you came to church. Because you can see that they change. Right? So Moses didn't see it, but everybody else did see it. That's when you know you have an effective prayer life. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, as the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon the face again until he went in to speak with them. Moses couldn't even speak with them without the veil unless he did it in the presence of God. When you get in the presence of God like you get, you don't need nobody to tell you nothing. Because you already heard from the Lord. And even the devil in hell can't stop you. Let's keep going. All right, I got a few more. Let's say we want to further break down Romans 12:2 to know what message of thought Paul is attempting to convey about presenting our bodies a what kind of sacrifice? A living sacrifice unto the church, unto the pastor, unto an organization. Your sacrifice has to be unto God. A living sacrifice. The problem is people are sacrificing, but not to God. You got to sacrifice to God as a living sacrifice. Paul tells us that we must not conform to the ideology of thinking of this world. And that word for conform is Strong's G4964, which is the Greek word syspontizo, from which we get our English word command. Right? He said you can't follow this command of the blueprint of the world any longer. I wonder tonight, have we been praying with this command of the blueprint of the world? Are you praying with the commanding of the blueprint of the church? You have to have a different change. You have to have a different mindset, right? So you can't stick to this systematism. You have to have a change. Amen? Saints are not supposed to pattern or fashion themselves according to the standards of the world. But we must be transformed with the organism, which is a metamorphosis, by the renewing, and that renewing is the Strong's G342 anagnosis, which means a complete renovation. So, evangelists love this stuff about renovation, right? Like, if you're going to watch most people out in those flood-torn places, houses that are flooded, they have to have a complete renovation. Right? They take everything out. All the old heads have come out. You see, they got them all out on the street. We have a renovation, take all the old out, and you put the new in. Because you can't mix new wine and put it in old wines. You can't take a new piece of garment and put it on. So there has to be a renovation. There has to be a change. The problem is we're praying to God, but the mind is still the mindset of the world. You can't pray to them with the mindset of the world and think you can get through to God. Because that's not presenting your body a living sacrifice. You have to pray to the mind that has been renovated. It means that mind has been completely changed. Amen. If you pray today, and if you've been saved, let's see, everybody been saved for 5 years? No, only five, not more than five. I try to get, I know all. praying the same way for the last 30 years.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. Right? Even the songwriter said, every day with Jesus. It's sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more.
I don't know the rest of
it. If one is something, it's something. I know it every day. But what I'm saying, you can't pray 5 years later like you did when you first got saved. The Bible said the path of the just is as a. Your prayer life has to increase. Your prayer life has to change. The renovated mindset, that's how I used to pray. Right? You know, when we first get saved, he said, oh, all things I used to do, I don't do them. Well, when you first got saved, and now, those old things you used to do when you first got saved, you shouldn't be doing them now. Because there should be a renovation. There's a change, right? Now, what good would it do when you found this law? If they take all that waterlogged sheetrock, put it outside, and some neighbor's going to put it in their house. Is that a renovation? Well, that's what the church does. We keep it up there right now. Results in discernment to know what is of God and is what?
Prayer.
Amen. So you should spend less time talking about it and more time praying. Less time talking about it and more time because prayer changes things. All right, John 11:38-44. Let's read this. Now we know this was an impossible situation. You know, as we said before, we know the scripture said that the Lord waited for hope. He waited for Lazarus to be in the grave before he went to see him 4. Right? So I said, well, why did he wait 4 days? Why didn't he just go after one? Because Jesus had a superstition. The rabbis believed that the spirit hung around for 3 days and could revive itself. This is really one of their superstitions. So if the Lord raised Lazarus within 3 days, they would say, it ain't nothing. So the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to just put the signs on all your superstitions. You don't think the spirit hanging around for 3 days and then they can get up. The Lord said, I'm going to wait 1 day longer to show you I got all power. He said, I'm going to show you I got all power. So he waited 4 days instead of 3 days. But then it says in the 38th verse, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he has been dead. Jesus says unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou, if you just believe, you don't have to figure it out. Just believe. Amen. We talk about how great our God is. But then in our time of need, we limit him. We talk about how big God is, and in our time of need, we make God small and our trials big. Let God see me. Right. It is said I not to thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus looked up to God and said, Father, the Lord is praying again. Who are you praying for? For him, he's praying for the people. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Every time I open my mouth, God hears me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people who stand by, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound and bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now let's go to John 18. Now that was an impossible situation. What changed it? Prayer. He said, Father, I thank thee. You always hear me. Prayer changes things when you pray right. But if you ask in doubt, God won't do it. If you ask in faith, God will make your way where there is no way. John 18:4 says, Jesus therefore knowing all things that should come upon me, and went forth and said unto them, who seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says unto them, he said, I am. We know who I am, right? When he said, I am, right? They all of a sudden they went, and fell down and worshiped. The next time he asked, who am I? They asked, he said, who? He said, who do you see? He messed with Peter. He said, I can't be the I am. Peter, we're going to never get past this. But every time I said, I am, they want me. So the Lord said, I'm going to tone it down. Because I am. Amen. But he said, Jesus answered, I told you that I am. Verse 8. If therefore you see me, then please go their way. That the same might be fulfilled which spake, of them which thou gavest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having his sword, drew it, and spoke the high priest's servant, and called his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now we say in prayer what? Change his name. Luke 22:50 said, one of them spoke the servant of the high priest, and it was Peter. Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far, and he. The Lord picked the air and put it right back on. He picked the air and put it right back on. Listen, after he said, who are you looking for? He's looking for Jesus. I mean, he wouldn't feel that. So when you messed up in your mind, you don't even see the miracle before you. So it's a mindset change you have to come down when you come to God. What do you mean? You fell down and worship, fell prostrate? He put the end on God and you still didn't know who he was. Church, we need to learn who God is. Stop limiting God. All that God is doing around you, stop and take a moment and say, Lord, I thank you. We need to learn to praise him. Say, in everything, give what? Thank you. But this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. My time is almost up. Let me go through this quickly. This should be good enough. I think you all have. Y'all have the message. You can't pray and stay the same. You can't pray and think the same. You can't pray and act like you can't see what God is doing when he's doing it right in your face. God, you come to church, God touches you, and you feel tears overwhelming, and go out and say, I don't know what that was. You know what that was. Just like Jesus said, I am, and he went back and fell. And then he picked the ear. Listen, last time he picked the ear, listen, you know what I like about God? God is the master plastic surgeon. Listen, he picked the ear up. He said, you know what? I don't have time for stitches. I don't have no time for this. What a great God we serve. You need to do that man in that situation to get good for you. See the miracle. Right? Believe the miracle. Let God be true. Let me finish here. A constant prayer life shows that we love communicating with God. Prayer and doing the will of God was more important to Jesus than his necessary food. Prayer and doing the will of God was more important to Jesus than even the food and water he drank. Amen. He said, God's word is more important to us than bread. Man shall not live by, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth. Now, that's enough for me. Every word means what? All right. Every word, when I say every word, means what? Every word. Every word means every word. So don't you limit the words. We should live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. God moves in his own time. Matter of fact, I was telling my wife today. I said, I had a dream that we met the Bible a few years ago, remember? Every word. I want to tell you what the dream is. Y'all want to know? I ain't going to tell you. She and I are. Don't look around and see what she's doing. Just like my sister. Because she's my wife. I'm getting close. Yeah. But listen, we need to stop having God. When we get that, and when I told her this is the dream, I laughed. I dreamed about 4 years ago, I said, boy, John Carroway was in our church service. I said, John Carroway was in our church service. He's like, what? We laughed. Who's sitting right there then? Believe God. So it's just carry you away from it. Alright. So it's more important, and Job said, I've seen the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But before you see the words of his mouth, he said, I have not gone back from following his commandments. Right. We miss when we don't adhere or follow God's word. Follow his commandment. Alright? And then we want to finish here in John 4:31-34. This is when Jesus met the woman at the well, and his disciples went away to get him food. eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat ought to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's my meat. That's what sustains me. I just want to do his will and to do what he's called me to do. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has. God has promised it to all of us. You know that? So without any doubt, prayer and talking about what's more important to Jesus than sleep. All right? Now you all can read the rest of this in your own time, but I just read the, I'll read the head, and you all can read the body later. We must establish a specific place and a specific time to pray. If you don't set it, guess what? It will run away with every time. If we are to walk in a way that is leading to God, a specific place and a specific time. You must have a consistent prayer life to obey God and to walk by. Somebody said, I don't have faith. What's your prayer life like? Righteousness is the key to a powerhouse prayer life that changes things. I would like to read these right quick. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from what? Far from the wicked. But he hears the prayers of the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord just be, so you know, I might be all a lot of stuff, but I'm gonna be right before. But the righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers them out of what they're in trouble? You just right. Just keep crying to God. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's hard to do what God tells you to do when you haven't established a right relationship with him through prayer. Amen? Prayer aligns Jesus' action with the Father's will. Prayer also aligns our actions with the Father's will. We must sow some spiritual seeds along with our prayer in this fasting and reading of the Word of God. Amen. And let's go to the last page. You have to know, so study those, okay? We are going to repeat the same four questions that we asked at the beginning of our Bible class to help you determine the true estate of your prayer life. Not the fake, the state, not the pseudo, but the true. How is your prayer life? Are you still on the milk of the Word? Are you full of age and age to meet the need of the Word? Are you spiritually mature to discern between good and evil? Only you can honestly answer these questions. Can we say amen? Do we have any questions? Great. Read the notes. Amen. Just read the notes, but We can pray through, and God can give us answers to our prayers, but we have to change our approach to prayer. And I don't know, you know, a lot of times we approach God sheepishly and like we're scared, as we all stand. The Bible says we have to come what? Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in heaven in time of need. If you're in need, go to God. The Bible says,